everybody takes it very seriously. I don't have to step back. Everybody needs that. We're losing our base. Yeah. You don't care. It's a cricket. It's less than zero. That means we're getting smaller.
Miss Universe and Miss USA, I own it. They're here. They're going to really do a number on me.
Well, I'm not so sure. Look, I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's really a terrific person. I love his stance. He's so different. He's very refreshing. But I think you want to listen to science. You want to listen maybe to your own gut, maybe your own experience. I'm not sure you have to necessarily listen to him. He doesn't deserve to be on the stage with a senator. The senator is nothing, and certain people are zeros.
Our people don't know what they're doing. Our leaders don't know what they're doing.
When you say rude, you are stupid.
Thank you, Donald, for that introduction into the second hour of the Ocelli Effect here on American Freedom Radio at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Anyway, I hope you guys like that second hour intro. It's
fun.
Is that new?
It's new.
It's new.
You did a whole bump thing with Donald Trump.
Yes, I did.
So quitting this show, dude. I'm so
How does
that
get ready to give him a parade and then
dude.
You're gonna quit? What?
Jesus, Chuck.
Listen, I had to take some of those great quotes, you know, anytime
you, don't
you say
to
we
a word
you're stupid.
I say. You don't listen to anything I say at all, man. Nothing. God.
But you obviously listen to me. So yay! We're on the right track.
Man, I'm sitting here watching Alt-J Left Hand Free with clips from the new Spider-Man Homecoming movie, coating my naked body with coconut oil in this microphone. And I got to hear that crap.
Listen, I figure it's
you
win-win.
You just had to add that naked part in, didn't you? You just
naked.
Had to throw it in.
No, I'm just messing with you. Did you like that, didn't you, Sherry? Did you like that?
I'm losing control of the show here, but I had to throw that in because I figured that the bottom line is this: for the you know, Trump supporter who has lost part of the use of their brain, apparently that does require at some point in their lives to be dragged out of their bed in the middle of the night and beaten with sticks in order to maybe knock sense back into them, not really to do any damage or anything like that. But those individuals are going to be happy just to hear his voice and think that it's a positive thing, and then somebody who actually listens to what I put together there are going to realize exactly how much he's being mocked in that bumper. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed putting it together, and it's double-edged, and really, it's great. It's like watching an idiot try to catch a Chinese star. I love it. So, you know, Sherry Wisdom is with me. Not necessarily an idiot trying to catch a Chinese star. Sherry Wisdom is with me, and she is my co-host on Wednesdays. I knew
I'm glad you excluded me, at least, you know, and pretend some way I'm going with that.
There you go. Listen, I didn't exclude you, though. I just said not necessarily. Now, that doesn't mean absolutely. It just means not necessarily.
I was giving you an avenue, and you just totally didn't take it and jumped all back in the wrong direction.
Yes, of course. I know.
That's what this next hour, that's what it's all going to be. I get it now. Okay.
All I can say is, what's my name? Okay, now. would you know me to be any different, Sherry, really?
I'd be truly disappointed, Chuck. Come on now.
You'd wonder what happened to me. And meanwhile, the other guy who was absolutely breaking into coconut oil and all kinds of other stuff and threatening to quit the show, Daniel Lewis Crumpton.
Don't forget the naked part. He did say naked.
I was trying to forget that part.
I thought the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer was the kicker of the whole thing, but whatever. Focus on what you wish.
Yeah, there you go. See, that's the point. You can focus on what you wish.
Do you remember from Forrest Gump whenever Jenny was a little girl and she was like, "Dear Lord, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away." You know, I used to do something similar, but it was, "Dear Lord, please send me a radioactive spider, please." And that's not even a joke. That's like serious. I really did pray to the Lord Jesus Christ.
You still do.
I do. God, you call that. Man, Jesus, you do. I'll be out in the backyard looking for spiders and junk. Bite me. One of
you want,
be the
you're
right
signing
one.
Up for the nuclear testing.
I want that, dude. I want to shoot webs from my wrist. Come on.
Listen, I'll just break the fourth wall. This guy lays in the grass literally begging for spiders to come get him. I know that for a fact. I mean, I'm not making it up.
They run.
Nah, me and spiders have a really good relationship, dude. I'll let them chill out. You know, you don't mess with them, they don't mess with you. They do you a service. You know, It's cool. You get these big banana spiders here in Georgia. They are so wicked looking.
They're not. I mean, I'm not scared of spiders. I don't mind them at all. But bananas, don't they look like almost like a tarantula? Like they're big and hairy?
They are huge. They get pretty big and intimidating, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really like that.
You might not be scared of spiders, but you know the old expression, scared of you, Daniel. You know that one, right? Let's talk about somebody that you might be scared of if you're a woman, Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, here we go.
So the people at Fox, after losing a whole bunch of sponsors and realizing that they had a Roger Ailes in the making, because don't forget Roger Ailes was, you know, having to depart from the company after a little while, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars of lawsuits being settled to women who were in one way or another sexually assaulted, intimidated, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I am not one of these guys who believes that all of the sexual harassment statutes or statutes and, acceptable ways of behavior are necessarily realistic. I think it's a little bit out of control, some of it. But isn't it amazing when a guy who can run around calling a woman hot chocolate and get pissed off at some other woman who doesn't want to come up to his room and sit there insulting her handbag and everything else? Well, this guy is in the no-spin zone. Well, I guess he was spinning, but it was all under the desk, and he was doing that while he was making phone calls where he sounded like that's what he was doing. It's kind of funny to me. Meanwhile, this guy was the great moral leader at one point before he started writing the whole series of books about killing somebody. He has now finally found a way to kill his career, at least temporarily. Wonder if he'll have a job, though, with Alex Jones. Because the performance artist, it's not getting any better for Mr. Panic Attack, is it? And I am cracking up at all of this, Daniel.
It's great, isn't it? This is great. Most people don't know this, man, but nobody's ever really asked me. But if you ever read anything from my website, there's always at the end, it doesn't matter if it's an article or a chapter of the serial novel or whatever it is, there's always a music video. Typically, it's a lyric video. And above it in bold letters, it always says, a song to play us out. Have you guys caught this?
Well, I know that everything you do contains a music video of some type, usually with a lyric video, actually, not a music video per se, but usually there's a lyric video and music. Even if you're posting a picture of you making breakfast on Facebook, which I don't know if you've ever actually done that, but, you know, even if you decide to show your cup of coffee, which you have done on Facebook, there is always a music video in the comments section immediately following it, and it's usually lyrics that have to do with something that's going on, and you got to decode it.
Everything's encrypted. I'm actually, and this is no joke, I'm wearing a shirt where the tag is it says encrypted on it. But exactly. the whole a song to play us out thing is actually it's a throwback to the Inside Edition thing with Bill O'Reilly. whenever he flips out because he's reading the teleprompter, you guys remember this? And he's like, to play us out. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means, to play us out. And so whenever you go to my stuff and you read it, there's always a song to play us out. It's just me snickering on the inside about the false, fraudulent thing that is Bill O'Reilly. It's like, dude, that was like back in the early 90s when he was on Inside Edition. And you could see that what he really is, he's a charlatan. And then, like, how did he continue a career after that videotape got leaked? I don't know. And he's like ahead of the curve of Alex Jones, which is, you know, 99% of the time, these cats who are in front of a camera and doing any type of presenting, it's not them. It's an act. And, I mean, that's cool, but be honest about it, that it's an act.
Well, what cracks me up is the transformation of the guy, because as you do accurately mention here, he was doing his, you know, Inside Edition deal, and at that time was, you know, kind of on the fringe a bit, talking about, I'll take it to a personal thing with the JFK assassination, how there seems to have been a conspiracy, and we can't get questions answered, and what happened with the House Select Committee, why didn't they continue to investigate, and all these things, asking questions that you might hear somebody like me ask. And then when he's done being the talking head in between the stories on that, he's somehow transformed into this moral leader. And there were O'Reilly books about how America should be great again, effectively, you know, and how we should return to the old values and how he grew up.
No, that's true.
Wait.
I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I'm just saying it's true that he went through that trajectory where he becomes this moral leader of sorts. This is the part that cracks me up the most. So by the time the late 90s are in, he's an author now. He's a best-selling author, in fact. You know, I mean, let's not get into how that gets manipulated. But his books about his musings about America and how it's gone wrong because people have gotten away from their very solidly, you know, really true American conservative ideals and da-da-da-da-da. All of that, he becomes a star as the guy on the O'Reilly Factor, Fox News comes to fruition. This guy's got a perfect home. He does all that. 9/11 comes. He is the reactionary right-wing guy you can get on TV five nights a week. And it's just that. He cuts people off. He doesn't care about what you have to say. You're going to stick to the question. You're not going to spin things. It's a no-spin zone and all this stuff. Then he starts branching out into conspiracy theories and smashing them. And going out and telling you about how, you know, the death of Jesus because he's an authority on that. The death of JFK because he's an authority on that. Death of Lincoln, the death of, Patton. Killing Patton was one of his books, too. But now after this long-storied sort of tempestuous existence in the media as the right wing who claimed to be not part of the mainstream, but as the conservative right wing mainstream media mouthpiece, right? Look where it went.
In my opinion, with the whole falafel sponge thing, and I don't know what that was about, calling people up talking about sodomizing them with a shower sponge, that was weird. But around that time, he has the audacity to bring on Marilyn Manson, like, and question Marilyn Manson's influence on children. And if you listen to that interview, I thought it was fantastic because Marilyn Manson is a very well-spoken, intelligent guy and makes Bill O'Reilly look like a complete nincompoop, you know. But it's just weird that Marilyn Manson is honest about what he is. You know, he makes no qualms about what he is, and he says, hey, look, dude, these kids have parents. It's their responsibility to determine what is good and what is not good for their children, but at the end of the day, this is art. This is art.
Well, right, and Marilyn Manson's name is Brian, actually. I've met the guy,
All
right? And very, in, like you just said, articulate, well-spoken, you know, very intelligent guy. And what's amazing to me about that is that, you know, the Columbine shooting and all that, they pointed at Manson as per usual, blame the rock and roll and all that stuff. I loved that section from, I think it was Bowling with Columbine, where, and I'm not a big Michael Moore fan, but you got to admit that piece right there where he goes to talk to Marilyn Manson is priceless. And Michael Moore says, what would you say to these kids if you could speak to them, you know, before they went and shot up their school? You know, and what did Manson say? Do you remember?
Remind me. I have seen that documentary. Go ahead, though. I remember they were in a trailer whenever Moore got a hold of him. What did he say?
Well, Brian Werner is his name. But anyway, the character he plays is Marilyn Manson. He says, you know what? I wouldn't say anything to them. I would listen.
Yeah,
I would listen.
Right.
And if somebody would have listened to them, this could have been avoided. Tell me something. The guy with the makeup on and who's walking around, you know, in the S&M stuff and getting dressed up as you know, pseudo-Hitler, you know, but also transgendered and everything else and pushing every single societal norm as an art form. I mean, even the name itself, it's meant to evoke the iconic imagery that is so Americana, which is sex and violence inseparable. This is part of our pop culture legacy that we've laid out there, and this guy is merely speaking to it. I love that.
Yeah,
but when he gets on with O'Reilly, you're exactly right. It was great.
Yeah, whenever he gets on with O'Reilly, you know, whenever you walk away from that interview, would rather, you know, hang out with that guy, Marilyn Manson, than Bill O'Reilly. Like, you're like, you know, I think Marilyn Manson's probably a cooler dude to hang out with than that Bill O'Reilly asshole. You know, that's funny to me. I mean, it's just funny.
And it turns out that he might not necessarily be the bizarre sexual stalker trying to take advantage of you. But for that perspective, I'd like to turn to the woman on the show, Sherry. You know, what do you think? Would you feel safer with Brian Werner, a.k.a. Marilyn Manson, or Bill O'Reilly, a.k.a. Bill O'Reilly, Mr. Hot Chocolate? What do you think?
Oh, Manson in a second. I would hang with him way before. I mean, let's be realistic. We all know that.
I would rather my children hang out with Marilyn Manson over Bill O'Reilly.
Hell yes. And you mean, Chuck, you and I have had lots of discussions in the past about the pedophilia rings and about all these things. And one of the things that you really brought to my attention and was extremely true, and I advocated since then towards this, is that it is your average Joe Schmo, Uncle John, neighbor guy, look at normal, that is really the demon. Mm. And by that, I mean, you know, pedophilia, stalker, you know, the people that you would never think are the ones that are showboating and acting like they have nothing to hide. Those are the ones that you have to be afraid of, for real.
Mm-hmm. So let me, is it official? Is he officially gone, or is it just in the air?
From what I understand, it's official now because they just, you know, can't reconcile the situation and it's too much. And he probably had a morals code in his contract. A lot of these places do. He'll reemerge somewhere. You know, if Brian Williams can get away with lying about being shot at in a helicopter and still have a job basically in the same corporation, I figure Bill O'Reilly will turn up somewhere.
I'm sure he'll have a job in Texas at InfoWars.
Well, that's my thought, is that he could always go to AJ.
You know, the song that I'm probably going to post with this is another one, Bites the Dust, but I'll tell you who I'm really waiting for, I'm pretty happy about Bill O'Reilly, and Alex Jones gives me the giggles that these guys are just toppling over and the mighty are falling. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be one happy mofo whenever whatever Sean Hannity is hiding, there's got to be something, right, comes out. Because Sean Hannity, to me, is the biggest, he's the king of Douche Mountain. And he looks like Fred Flintstone to me, which is not, I'm not like prejudiced against Fred Flintstones or cave people in general. I just don't like Sean Hannity because he was the
first person. I don't know who he is. Who is he?
Well, I can tell you this personally about Sean Hannity. He emerged in my consciousness many years ago in the 1990s, okay, long before he was on Fox News, as a guy on WABC radio in New York City, okay, which was primarily a conservative radio station, you know, carried Rush Limbaugh in the afternoon, had a guy named Bob Grant, who's pretty infamous as well. You know, very much an interesting sort of like Fox News before it was Fox News, and only in New York City was WABC radio. How about that? You know, catch me outside.
Golly. Dude, the Trump bump music and the catch me outside reference, dude. You're two down, Chuck.
I'm mocking these things, Daniel. Don't you understand that?
Yeah, man, but we got to elevate this conversation. We don't need to be talking about the Cash Me Outside girl or Donald Trump, man.
Well, but it's all the same thing as far as I'm concerned. So
that girl's made a fortune.
Yeah. What does that tell you about who profits anyway? Go ahead, though, Daniel. Let's elevate the conversation. I'll tell you what. I will leave it all to you.
No, you were discussing Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity, Sherry, and the reason I got such a stick in my craw about that dude is because when I first, you know, got into talk radio, of course, everybody starts off with Rush. Sean Hannity was like the edgier Rush, right? And I was stuck in the car a good bit of my day back then. And so I listened to him. I didn't know much. Ron Paul hadn't come on the scene. And, you know, I really kind of trusted Sean Hannity. I really trusted him. You ever, like, been in a relationship where you trusted somebody and then you find out later, feeling wasn't mutual, man. They didn't really have your back. You know, because I've been listening to this cat talk about the Constitution. It's all about the Constitution. And then Ron Paul runs for president, and he's in the debates. And, you know, they're talking about the war overseas, and Ron Paul says, well, we haven't even declared war. It's our Constitution says you got to go to Congress. And so I heard that on, you know, the presidential debates, and I'm like, I can't wait to listen to Sean Hannity the next day, because it's obvious to me, as someone who read the Constitution, hearing Ron Paul say that, that that's the only candidate that you had in 08, right? And then Sean Hannity, like, it was pathetic the way that he treated Ron Paul. Both times he ran for president, it was just absolutely pathetic. It was some of the saddest, sickest stuff for a bully. I mean, quite frankly, Sean Hannity is a bully. The Fox News, most of these Fox News people are just bullies, man. You know, you're a pinhead. Bill O'Reilly's got the whole pinheads are patriots, as if you don't go along with what I'm saying, you're automatically a pinhead. And then you get news where, like Chuck was saying, they cut you off and stuff. It's like, that's not, man, that ain't news. That ain't journalism, really. I mean, but Sean Hannity was the first one that really just made me never trust really anybody that I hear on the radio or on TV ever again after that. And so whenever he comes tumbling down, which is going to be soon, I'm praying to the gods, I'm really going to have a party that day because Sean Hannity is just, ugh.
Well, I'm with you. And, you know, he sharpened his claws, so to speak, on a guy named Alan Combs for years. There was the Hannity and Combs deal, right?
Mm, yeah.
Now, Alan Combs was another New York radio personality guy. I mean, he goes beyond that, but he recently passed away, and he was like the token liberal on Fox News. And, you know, I remember seeing a cartoon one time about, you know, oh, I was watching Hannity and Combs the other day, and it was, you know, Hannity screaming, you know, you hate America because you're a liberal and you're with the terrorists because you hate America. And they turn the camera pans and it's Droopy Dog going, well, I don't know, Sean. I don't know if you're right about that. It's Droopy Dog. You know, and that's what it looked like. And that whole thing was actually, again, born on that ABC station I was talking about. But this guy really was nothing more than a Rush Limbaugh impersonator, effectively, on the radio, except he would have a liberal counterpart who he would tear apart and just sit there and use him as the example of what was wrong with America. That was it.
Well,
that's his whole shtick.
Is Sean Hannity still on the radio? I don't know. Is he?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll tell you another thing. You know, after he was revealed to me what he was, I started calling into his show. And if anybody out there does listen to Sean Hannity, which I really doubt if you're listening to American Freedom Radio, call that dude's call screener, and in less than 2 seconds, you'll figure out what that entire show is about. And it's ridiculous. Just try calling into the Hannity show. Give it a shot one day. And when you get to the call screener, that will reveal everything. It's like pulling the curtain, you know, Toto pulling the curtain, you see what's behind there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's very revealing about a lot of these talk shows. You find out that, you know, they really don't want opinions. They really don't want fresh discussion. They tell you, call in, tell us what you think. You call in, you try and tell the guy who's screening the calls what you think, and they go, not interested, they hang up on you.
Yeah.
You know, or they accidentally get disconnected and you got to try for another half hour to get in. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous, whole thing. But I mean, it's just such stagecraft. I wish people would understand that this is just another cookie cutter conservative guy who really doesn't believe even in the crap he's spewing. They're all ready for this. They're all performance artists. Got it?
And I think that this big, you know, it can't be a coincidence that Bill O'Reilly and Alex Jones are both being, you know, taken out to the wash at the same time. I think it's our extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional beings watching out for us. But the Alex Jones thing is just getting more Nickelodeon as it goes by. Like, I think I read a couple of things where it came out in court today that he's been diagnosed with NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. And I think yesterday he couldn't answer basic questions about his kids. And his response was that he had a big bowl of chili for lunch. It's like, did he just say that?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. What's the color of your kid's eyes? Oh, I had some sour cream in my chili, Judge. I don't. What the hell?
Yeah. Well, see, now, Daniel, you don't have kids, so maybe you know you wouldn't understand. But you got a dog. I got that. You got a dog. But let's try and be fair for a second before I even comment on this.
His eyes are red, by the way, my dog.
No, that's cool, and they're kind of brownish and reddish, actually.
You're blind.
Yeah, but I can see a little bit.
I almost
bit.
Dropped the F-bomb, so I had to...
That's okay,
that
thank
funnier.
You.
It would have been funnier if Chuck would let me use the F-bomb.
Not necessarily. Anyway,
go ahead.
Sherry, let me ask you something. A bowl of chili ever gets you to forget the details about your children?
Yeah, can't say that that would be the kicker. Nope.
Okay, I'm just wondering, because, you know, maybe there's something I don't, you know, I haven't seen, you know, two of my kids in a long time, so maybe I'd forget a few details about them or something like that. But, you know, if I'm seeing them all the time, and as far as I know, he was seeing them all the time, you know, he's had custody of them actually since the separation, if I understood the news stories, you would think that he might remember, you know, color of their hair and, you know, their eyes and things like that. I mean, I don't forget any of that. And a bowl of chili would not be the thing that would inspire me to lose track of that kind of information. I mean, again, I guess it does depend on the kind of chili it is, I suppose. I mean, is there a kind of chili that you think would cause you to forget details about your children, Sherry? Sherry?
Sorry, I'm talking away.
Is she eating the chili? Sorry.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I love, like, a really good bowl of green chili. It has never one time ever made me forget any, well, let's just say any life details. I mean, I can say that him being diagnosed with a narcissistic syndrome... I mean, who's writing this stuff? Like, guy. Okay, I take it from there.
It's proof that there's a God, and it's also proof that God's got a sense of humor.
See, I'm not writing it because if I was writing it, he'd already be in a dress like J. Edgar Hoover. That's where I'd be at.
What I find so funny about it, though, is that there's no mention of it on InfoWars. You know. Like, there's no mention of, I mean, come on, you guys, you could at least have, like, a byline about it, or try to spin the whole custody trial thing and the performance artist thing, but they're not even trying that. It's like, you know, you ever talk to somebody that's got, like, a zit on their nose, and you're trying not to stare, but you can't help it, and that's what this is like for him, I suppose.
I wonder if he's taking callers, speaking of radio shows taking callers. Because that would be a goal. If somebody got on there and asked him about his kids and then quickly mentioned the Ocelli effect, I got to tell you, I'd be your best friend for a long time. It would be really great if somebody decided to do that. I'm not encouraging anybody to do it, but I would definitely want to become your friend. Okay, so, Daniel.
Yeah,
there's other issues in the world besides performance artists, the downfall of the no spin, but who knows what he's actually spinning, you know, while he's talking to you on the cell phone and apparently breathing funny and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And meanwhile, he worked for another guy who was definitely a sexual harassment type predator and all that good stuff. Why don't we get into what you've been up to lately? You know, you were on Terry Joyce's show the other day.
I was. That was yesterday, I think.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
And, you know, it sounded a little confrontational. And I found it interesting. And I will say that, you know, I thought a couple of good points came up and then disappeared in the conversation. You know, and I know you've been doing a lot of radio interviews lately. So I leave it open to you to comment.
Well, what sounded confrontational?
Oh, I don't know, the part where, you know, she seemed to get angry when you said something about the Constitution being a piece of paper. And, you know, I'm saying to myself, but in reality, that is one version of the Constitution. It is codified onto a piece of paper, which may or may not be made out of hemp. I don't know. I haven't physically examined it myself. But that is the allegation. There is this document called the Constitution, which does exist, and it is apparently on a piece of paper. So in reality, it is a piece of paper, and the reproductions thereof are often on paper. You know, you might say that the Constitution is a piece of paper, but it's also a living, breathing document, and it is something of interest that people need to discuss. And just because one thing is true does not necessarily mean the other is not true as well, but this is my crazy rambling. Maybe I'm totally out in left field. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm a Virgo, okay? And so I'm not being arrogant, man. It's just what it is, dude. I think far, and I think fast, and I think vast. Is that a fair assessment of Virgos, Sherry?
Yes, and also stubborn and a little opinionated. I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
So no, fair enough. Fair enough. That's why it's so weird when, you know, the Aries me gets together with the Virgo you. It's awfully funny.
It's funny. It's great. But so
it's humble.
So whenever I think about things, there was somebody, I won't mention who, that said, you know, I've been wrong about you this whole time I've known you, Daniel, because I thought that you'd always been lost in the forest, you know, and you couldn't see the forest for the trees. But in all actuality, you always look at a bird's eye view, and we just can't see that, you know. So I think in kind of big clumps. And so if I get to finish a sentence or a statement, you know, it is more clear. But I think what Terry heard was me say the Constitution is just a piece of paper. Stop. Right? Which, that's kind of a suck statement to say, if that were the statement, right?
Well, right. But if it's the Constitution is a piece of paper, comma,
yeah,
that's a different statement, isn't it?
Wait a second. I mean, I'm just going to put in my throw and, you know, it is what it is. The Constitution is a piece of paper that is no longer even relevant in the United States. And furthermore, I mean, it's the actual beginning of a corporate writing that put us all into enslavement. I don't think we should be standing up, giving it some kind of parade and defending it like we have some ultimate freedom and it gives us the rights that we are entitled to on this planet just by being here. I mean, was that too much?
Let Daniel address that. Go ahead.
I respect your right to believe that. I believe that, you know, when I said the Constitution is just a piece of paper, I was actually holding a physical copy in my hand. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, if there was a Lenco Bearcat tank outside of my house or a police officer or the state shoots at me, that piece of paper is not going to make me bulletproof all of a sudden, right?
Well, and how much of it, not only, yes, it makes sense to me, but on top of that, I mean, I'll tell you that in the last week, I've been exposed to some things that even in criminal law, I wasn't exposed to with police departments and different things. I feel like the Constitution is a joke. I mean, not that it originally, like, if you read it and you could actually count on it or any of it apply, it'd be great. But when you break it down, our society is so far off from having any type of constitution or civil rights, it makes me want to throw up.
Well, see, now there comes a valid point, right? And Daniel was just starting to say that, look, if he was being confronted with policemen with firearms, he's not going to be able to hold that up and stop whatever's already in progress. No. It's just not going to work. And meanwhile, this doesn't influence a lot of things that we're being rolled over with by the state. Asserting your rights doesn't necessarily keep you from going to jail. It doesn't keep you from losing property. It doesn't keep you from being prosecuted in a lot of cases.
Let's think of it proactively for a second. Okay, we got the Second Amendment, right, Chuck?
Yes, we do.
All right, and so we have a right to bear arms. Now, I got a pocket constitution in my hand. Is my pocket constitution going to go to a firearm store and purchase a firearm for me? I got a right to bear arms. It's in the Constitution. The physical constitution. Is the constitution going to go buy a gun for me?
Well, of course not.
Okay. So it's just a piece of paper in that sense. However, me as a sovereign created by my creator, an American, okay, I can look at the document, which is really supposed to be, I don't know, what's the words? Self-evident, right? Mm-hmm. That these are given to us by our creator. It just kind of details what should already be within you, which is you have a right to defend yourself. And, of course, for the specific time that the Constitution was written, they have to use certain language appropriate to the time, which is you have a right to bear arms. You have a right to defend yourself. Okay, well, great. Now I know that right. I can verbalize it. I can communicate it. But the physical Constitution is still not going to go buy me a gun. Okay, where the Constitution, the spirit of the Bill of Rights is you, an individual, say, knowing, I have a right to defend myself. And then physically, through your will, going and doing something about that to arm yourself. Okay?
Well, I just watched, here's the sad thing about that, Daniel, and I agree with you 100%, but I just watched some 18, 19-year-old boys try and stand up for their rights in a very peaceful yet affirmative, you know, standing up for their rights type of thing. The cops beat the shit out of them, knocked two of the boys' teeth out. I mean, just, it was so disappointing to have this going on in my community that my level of faith, maybe, is definitely shaken, because I did not believe that in a smaller community even that this type of thing would go on with as much media, how they have to wear the cameras, this and that. They don't give a shit. And that's concerning.
So what was the situation, if you don't mind me asking? I haven't heard anything about it.
Well, it's what happened is basically there was a boy who took a bunch of acid. He took 5 hits. He started to freak out. He went over to his friend's house, and his friend was like, dude, I gotta, like, call the police or something. Like, he couldn't handle it. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't know what to do for him, so he called the police.
Mistake number one.
Exactly right, and now he knows that, but how unfortunate is that? He calls the police. He's holding his friend down because he starts trying to drink the cleaners and stuff under the bathroom or under the kitchen sink. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, I mean, it was pretty dramatic. Anyway, the police show up. The kid gets up off and tells the police kind of what happened and then goes to walk away. The police say, we need your name and ID, blah, blah, blah. He says, I don't want to get involved in this. This guy's in a gang. I want to be left out of it. And he turns around to walk away. They then pursue him in front of a crowd, take him behind the building where there's no light, don't let anyone over there, and beat the shit out of him.
Jeez.
And it's all, you know, and the thing is, like, on the police report, they don't have that he knocked his two front teeth out by slamming his face into the side of the car. This is an 18-year-old kid that's, like, 135 pounds. He's still in high school.
So is there going to be any pushback in your community? You guys going to hold these guys accountable?
Well, of course there is, but there's a big outcry now. See, how the police have twisted it is that the Hispanic groups are out of control. Like, they're trying to play the race card the opposite direction, which I just cannot even believe that we are in 2017. I mean, I've done, you know, the things that I can do as far as contacting the safety manager of Denver, contacting the governor, contacting city council, writing letters, posting things, you know, but the bottom line is that in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, these guys, if they're not, you know, still working for Arvada, they're moved somewhere else and they're still beating people up. Like, why?
Say thank you, Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions, because they have effectively turned around and encouraged stringent, harsh enforcement. In fact, we'll have your back a lot more than we used to regarding this kind of behavior. And hey, look, you know, Mexicans are a problem in Colorado, aren't they? Because Mexico is absolutely sending us their worst people. Got to deal with them. You got to watch out, you know. See, this is the problem with encouraging a bunch of crap. Okay, encouraging a bunch of belligerent behavior as opposed to embracing people's individual rights, as opposed to having a community encourage that in general and allowing this type of thing to continue.
Yeah.
These people need to be brought in check. And Daniel, I want you to speak to that because I, you know probably where I'm going with this.
Well, one, I want to say that shouldn't make you have reservations or doubts about the Constitution. It should make you believe in the Constitution more, because I'm going to tell you what that's a result of. And I know in Georgia, we have a huge police academy, you know, about 40 miles away. But whenever they're getting these guys to become police officers, the one thing that they're neglecting to teach them is the Constitution. So the police force that you have that is doing this type of thing, they don't know the Constitution. That's not the Constitution's fault, you know. And so we have to start holding accountable. We ought to make it academically way more difficult to become a cop than it clearly is.
Not only don't they know the Constitution, they don't know laws. Anyway.
No, they just type in a computer jaywalking or whatever, and they get a statute and an act, and it comes out almost in a ticker. These guys don't know the law. That shouldn't be a bad – what that really does is it reflects on us, the people, not holding a government accountable. You know, how did we
– Again.
How did we allow our police academies and police forces to do this crap and not teach these guys the Constitution? You know, that's –
Because everyone's running around afraid, because if you say anything or you stand up, you get your ass beat or possibly killed or shot or whatever it is that they feel, you know, is bucking them. And that's where the fear comes in. But if people, like what you're saying, if a group stands up, if a community stands together, they can make the change. And that's what has to happen, in my opinion.
Yeah, I strongly believe that we have forgotten that all of these people, all of them, are supposed to be working for us. You know, it is we the people, if I understand the documents correctly, mm-hmm. It is we the people that are supposed to be the ultimate authority. They are there to execute. They are there to be ministers. They are there to be administrators of our authority. They are there to represent us, okay, one way or another. And it's interesting with the police because, again, the fact that and it sounds like I'm kicking a dead horse here, but the fact that you're calling in the police to settle things to begin with is a problem.
But oh, sorry, I choked. I guess the other part of that for me is that you take so much of what, you know, the public servant of this or that, or of what there's actually supposed to be put into place, and how much of that is actually even, I mean, where do we stand as a society where people have the knowledge, have the have anything to even stand up?
Daniel, please answer that.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Well, I feel like that there are people who are standing up, but they're getting slaughtered.
Yeah.
And I guess it's frustrating on my end when you're talking about the Constitution and this and that. Yes, I think that it is a valid, wonderful idea. Mm-hmm. But unless we, like you're saying, the people uphold it, we've handed over our rights, our lives, our energy, our magic, our everything that I and you and we all believe in is handed over to these so-called governments.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and these laws that we don't even know about.
We live in an automated world. We want everything automated, you know, and government's one of those things. But, you know, if you're going to have government, it requires daily maintenance. You know, and we as a people, because America, under the freedoms that it had, you know, we became apathetic over time. I mean, you know, like the income tax, for example, if you ask people why they pay it, they'll basically say because the generation before them told them to. And they didn't ask any questions. They just became apathetic, you know. And the founding fathers knew, like any republic, that over time it was going to degrade. And when things became insufferable, a future generation, you know, I don't believe in restoring the republic, not the republic of 1776. Mm-hmm. Okay, a new republic is going to come about, which is it's going to be the next stage in evolution, in my opinion. So I don't believe that you're ever going to restore what was penned in 1776. Okay. But the concepts of a republic are going to evolve, you know, Alex Jones, for example, he talks about the world of Star Trek being a one world government. You know, look, dude, the whole idea of a one world government seems like a bitter taste in people's mouths. And I think a huge part of that stigma comes from the whole Bible prophecy thing about there being a one world government under the Antichrist. But what they fail to really note is that it says that the good guy, their good guy, their superhero, Jesus, is going to bring about a one-world government too, okay? One-world mm-hmm. government is going to happen, okay? But in Star Trek, say, it's a one-world republic, if you follow the show. It's a republic where the individual's rights are protected. Okay? A one-world republic would be great. And it's going to eventually happen because we can conceive it. And you know, so that's going to come about.
Well, not only that, but people that complain about the one-world government represented there fail to recognize perspective, which is that the reason why there is one-world government unified at that point is because we are no longer arguing with each other over this piece of rock. There are many other individuals out there. We need to unify under a singular banner because we have a mutual interest. Okay, where we're all on this particular rock, there are hundreds of others now, okay, that are out there. Imagine them as nations of the world. Would you not all get together and try to deal with things collectively if you realize that you are beset by, you know, friend and foe alike, and there are hundreds of them? Mm-hmm. This is sort of how mankind behaves. We gather together into a tribe for what reason? Not simply because of the family linkage, but because there is strength in numbers. There is something to be said for doing that. It's not a matter of an oppressive, authoritarian, one-world government where every individual is crushed. In fact, it's meant to display the idea that self-improvement, right, through experience, through contribution to the society, is really the most important element to one's life. That's a little more utopian than, you know, and I know utopia is an arguable concept also, but in general, it's a little more utopian than it is authoritarian 1984 Brave New World-ish. Okay, and when you put it in that perspective with the rest of the galaxy, what else would you have us do? Remain many different nations dealing with, you know, Vulcan and the Borg, each, you know, just the U.S. dealing with it? I mean, why not pool everything together and understand that we are all one people? What would be the problem there? I don't get it. So I've always had that weird kind of, and I thought about that at one point, that maybe the one world government concept that's there is not necessarily, oh, benevolent, but really, if you put it in its proper perspective, how many other alien civilizations are there that you don't know the nature of, mm-hmm. you can possibly unify together, because at the end of the day, we are actually all one people. Mm-hmm. So what's the problem? I don't get it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, especially if you're talking about higher, you know, it's funny because I'm going on, shameless plug, going on Ground Zero tomorrow, so this type of topic might show up. But, yeah, any higher evolved species that's out there, or, you know, in a parallel dimension, is very well aware of, like, the unified field and that we're all one. We all are one. So, you know, it's inevitable, and I always think it's funny. Well, oh, we want disclosure. Well, what do you want disclosure about? That extraterrestrials are, you know, have made contact, and we want it from our government. For one thing, dude, higher evolved species, if they ever came to this planet, and, you know, it's the whole take me to your leader thing, they're not going to Washington. They're not going to recognize those cats as the leaders of humanity, the spokespeople of humanity. It's going to be some cat out in the, you know, out in the mountains of Montana or something like that. You know, that's who they're really going to contact.
Mm. What do you think about that, Sherry?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think that there's a lot to what's happening on the planet, and, you know, my beliefs are pretty far out there, but I don't think it's a far tale as far as looking at the resonance of the planet, of looking at the solar system, as looking at what's happening on our planet, even the readings, you know, that Daniel talks about, the prophecies. You break it down all the way from 2012 with the Mayans. I mean, it all kind of comes to a place, in my opinion, of where we are at a turning point. It's either call it evolution, call it the, what is it the Christians say when the coming of Christ?
The rapture.
Thank you. So, you know, whatever title you want to give it, the vibration of the planet doesn't go from 78283 to now resting at 90. So it's jumped in almost in 2 months. It's basically just flown through the roof. Now, I've only found one website that confirms it's actually hit 90, so I don't want to say that that's for sure. But it would make sense in a lot of ways if you look at how nuts people are going, the things that are happening to people. It's almost like, again, in my opinion, whatever the anchors that were holding, the deepest, darkest, ugliest, the stuff that was holding you back is rearing its head and coming to the forefront for two things. Either you can fall into it and you can continue to live that story in the 3D paradigm, or I think you can actually let it go and shift into this fourth dimensional reality that's starting to hit the planet, which is, again, in my opinion, inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been watching a lot. I've been like really diving deep into a lot of documentaries about the pharaohs and Egypt and the pyramids and everything. To try to get any last bit that I can. A constant thing that I've been coming across is, you know, when we entered into the age of Aquarius, a lot of people out there are saying, you know, it's the age of the feminine divine, but it's not really. It's the age of the child, because we as a species have gone through the paternal, you know, evolution and then the maternal evolution, and now we're taking our first steps, and so we're in the age of the child, not the age of, like, the feminine divine or whatever. That's just something I've heard. You know, which makes sense to me, because it is, go ahead.
I think it's the same. I think that we went through the phase of the feminine when the Earth gave birth, right? The new dimensional reality inside of itself. And that's part of, it's not an outside, it's not a coming, it's within us.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. I think that it is about taking those first steps, but it takes the balance. The balance has to come back. The dominance on this planet is the narcissistic, egocentric BS. And that's not necessarily male, but it's masculine. That's where I think people are, not you. I'm not saying that either one of you are actually saying this, but I think a lot of people have the misconception about the masculine, feminine, that they're male and female, when that's not necessarily true.
No. Masculine is the creative energy or the creative force, and the feminine is that which is created upon. So it's like the masculine is the paintbrush and the feminine is the canvas.
Exactly. And so when you're talking about the child, I think you're exactly right, because this is, in my, again, opinion, is that we have entered into this fourth density reality. I think that things are moving and shifting at a much faster speed. The sky looks closer. I mean, I could go through this whole list of things that I feel are happening already.
But yeah. And
go ahead.
And I want to make a notation there. People like us who are aware of it and sensitive to it, it's really incumbent upon us to take control of this situation. And, like, you know, I know that the Douglas Adams Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books are comedies and everything, but I think there's great wisdom in them too. And the greatest wisdom from the Hitchhiker's Guide is the big, bright, don't panic motif. Don't panic. Don't freak out. This is an experience that we're all having. Make the best of it and be lighthearted and bring humor back into existence, because we are the ones who, we have a field that, you know, you guys know this, we generate a field. And if people like Chuck and Sherry and other people who are listening to stuff like that, we're aware of it, we're sensitive, we need to be the ones who are, you know, chill, because it really does affect everybody that you come in contact with.
Well, in this energy that's hitting now, because and, you know, everybody gets sick and tired of retrograde. But the retrograde now with Saturn is substantial. Because of the vibrational rays of the planet, it's almost like you have this giddy rays of everybody's kind of getting high, and then the teacher walks in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, that's exactly what's happening. And so it's like, okay, now it's telltale time. It's time to take the test. Are you, you know, and how are you going to react? Are you going to fake it? Are you going to make it? Are you going to flunk it? You know, that I feel like that's really where we're at.
Well, you know, it's hard to put it exactly where we're at the moment, because we're almost out of time. And want to remind people that despite the seemingly divergent different subjects here, it is all related. And guess what? You could probably make a lot more sense of it at a website called downloadedcontent.com, which happens to be Daniel's website. And do advise you guys to listen to him tomorrow night on Ground Zero Radio with Clyde Lewis. But we're all done with the Ocelli Effect for tonight, and I want to thank Mark Windows in the first hour, windowsontheworld.net, and of course Daniel Lewis Crumpton and my co-host Sherry Wisdom for this quite a diverse conversation we had tonight.
Happy
anyway,
420,
guys,
everybody.
Bye-bye.
That's right. Take care. We'll see you guys tomorrow night.
Download content podcast. Download content.